That's what Satan is looking for. So in life, as it's discouraging you, it's not about the car or the house. If it steals your money, I said it all the time, don't worry about the money. Because the money he's stealing is an avenue to get something more precious than cash. Money is very easy to recover. That one I know. How do I know? Because I discovered that it's a spiritual operation. Do you know what I'm saying? It's a spiritual operation. I don't cry over lost money these days. All I do is give thanks over lost money. Money is easy to recover. You know, Englishman said, if there is life, that is not a lie. Go and ask Job. Go and ask Job. So when the devil takes money, like we say, as Christians, let's know that he's not looking for money. Where will he spend it? No, I've told you before. It's all this confusion of not understanding anything that makes those of us preachers just say anything. He said, you will sow this money into the realm of the spirit. That when you sow this money to produce 100 million times. Listen, money does not enter into the realm of the spirit. It's the same confusion that made us think that the devil comes to steal money so he can go to heaven to go and spend it. I've said it before. If a man gives money as an offering, and you need to keep emphasizing this so we can understand. I didn't say don't give money. Did I say so? I said no. In the giving of money, it's not money that is first. It is what is behind the heart, inside the heart, behind the giving. So if I give because I want to impress somebody, it's wickedness that I'm doing. God looks at it and says, this is wickedness. In the same manner, God, the devil is not looking for money. If he steals your money, he's trying to steal what that money represents in your life. If money is so attached to your heart that when they take the money, your left ventricle disappears, then indeed he has stolen your heart. But if you hold material things very loosely, you know, as you are going, just carry the thing, come out. As far as you are concerned, you dust your clothes and you keep on walking with God, you will get tired. If you stop there, say, my heart is not beating correctly again. Say, what happened? My money. I kept it inside my chest. That is where the trouble is. Are you getting what I'm saying? The real thing the guy is trying to steal is what? Faith. That's all. So when trials and challenges come out in life, that's what I'm explaining. It's not going after that thing. It's not that money. It is the faith. The state of the heart that is going after. And that's why I'm preaching the faith rest life. So that Christians will understand that no matter the trials you go through, it is how your heart responds in faith towards God that we're talking about. Don't forget the story of Job. Job lost money. Amen? He lost family. He lost goods. He lost everything. He lost health. But did you know even the devil that was stealing it was not counting how many things I've stolen? He was watching out for what Job will say as far as his relationship with God is concerned. So Job, talk here, talk good there, talk whole, talk everything. At the end of the day, call God my Redeemer. I know my Redeemer liveth. He said, what else we need to steal from this guy now before he starts saying something else? Job, talk. But deny God, he won't. So at the end of the day, that's what I'm saying, money is very temporary. What happened? He got double money back. Are we getting the point? That's what we mean when talking about the faith rest life. How do we stabilize ourselves in faith? Let me not forget that. That's what I ended last time. Quickly open to the book of Joshua chapter 1. Very famous scripture. Like I said, this is what I like to preach most to Christians. Because this is the real thing about life. That's all. Jesus did not overcome the devil because he was the Son of God. No. He overcame the devil because he knew what to use to overcome the devil. It wasn't just because he was the Son of God. If it was just because he was the Son of God, Satan would have been afraid to come near him. He laid aside his glory. He showed up empty. God gave him the same tools that are available to you and I today. And what are those tools? The promises and the word of God. That's all. So when the devil will show up, all he will say to him is what? It is written. When the devil will show up, all he will say is what? it is written. That is, all the tools that he needed were found in the word of God. When life will become discouraging, you know what he will say? It is written. When things get so strong, he cannot utter by himself confidently. He will run into the garden and begin to pray. Don't ever forget. Anytime you see something said in the life of Jesus once, all right? Don't think that's the only time it happened. He went to the garden and he prayed and prayed and prayed. He used to pray all night before that time. I hope you're getting my point. It was his habit. I said we should read that last scripture in that Hebrews chapter 4 to explain that last verse, to let us understand the two weapons that we have. We've discussed them again and again. That we used to stabilize ourselves in the rest of God. Why must we stabilize ourselves in the rest of God? Listen to the reason again. It is because it is only after you have ceased from your own works that God can do his works in your life. Are you getting what I'm saying? If you are still struggling, God will have to wait for you to get tired. Are you hearing what I am saying? If you are still exerting your energy, God will have to wait until you are tired. The time he begins to move on your behalf is when you have rested from your own works and you have gone into the rest of God. Then you are doing the work of God, then God is doing your own work for you now. Therefore, he said, let us be diligent to enter. Why was he speaking so strongly? He understood that there's no other way to achieve anything in life. There's no other way to succeed in life. There's no other way to get what life really means, all right? Fulfilled. There's no other way to have destiny manifested in your life. There's no other way. God doesn't struggle with people. If you want to do it, you say, okay, do it. When you are through, call me. That's the way it is. He doesn't struggle with people. If you can do it, do it. If you can't do it, let me do it. That's the way it works. The way God wants is that I will tell you what to do. And you do what I said you should do. If you want anything, ask me for it. That's the summary. Therefore, you know, I was saying it last time, and I shared that with my wife. Towards getting some advancements in my office, the academic sector in which I work, I made some strategies. My friend and I began to do some things. One of those days, God sent me a message indirectly. You know, I told him, look, if you are waiting for God, you know, as you are going on the road, and then the spirit blew by me like Eliphaz said. And I said, shh, my son, where are you going? God does that once in a very rare while. It's not common. More frequently, a friend will just show up. And that's what happened to me. My friend just came and said, hey, pastor, let me tell you something. I said, what happened? He said, see what happened today. He was just telling me a story. As he was telling the story, you know what I was hearing? He that has entered the rest of God has ceased from his own works. What he just did was to show me the futility of your own personal works. He didn't come with an instruction like, ah, man of God, thus is the Lord. The Lord said I should tell you that these things. No. He just said, let me tell you a story. See what happened today. So when I saw those experiences, I just said, listen, and let me tell you something. Don't let competition be part of what you are involved in. That is very crucial. If you are scanning everybody else, the rate at which they are doing this, you will get derailed. Now, let me tell you something that helps me, all right? The fact that I preach here helps me a lot too. When I come to preach to somebody, I get, quick correction. Sometimes I'm just reading the Bible. Correction just comes. Why am I saying that? Because every day, life tries to discourage you and set you on the wrong tangent. Put you on the wrong track. Then, what did the Bible say in the book of Hebrews? It says you must encourage one another as long as it is called today. You know what it means? Anybody who stays alone and does not go to where he can get encouragement has no choice. He will be derailed. You can't help it. You can't help it. You can't help it. If you don't find a place of encouragement, you will be derailed. Let me say it again. If you don't find people, a good church, a place where the word of God is coming forth, where you can get good materials, physical human beings you can interact with that will correct you, help you remain steadfast, you will derail. That's why as a Christian, it is forbidden as far as God is concerned for your best friend to be an unbeliever. is against the will of God. You must never have a close confidant that's not a man of faith or a woman of faith. You are begging for disaster. You can relate to people who are not believers. So I didn't say you can't relate with them. But when they say, who are your friends? And you drop three names, and one of them is an unbeliever, you decrease. When they say, who are your friends? The names you drop, listen. Evil communication corrupts good manners. Good communication does not correct evil manners. It's only good communication that encourages good manners when it's amongst good people. Iron sharpens iron. I hope you are getting what I'm saying. Listen, what I'm telling you is a matter of wisdom. Imbibe it. Go and look. You say, how will I find somebody who can better kneel down and pray? I remember my friend that time. One of us came to Enugu, one of our friends. I just met him. I didn't know him before I came to Enugu. I had met his wife before, all right? Then they were not married, but we attended the same church in Lagos. So then we'll be talking. There's a way I will say something, and the man will turn to his wife and say, I used to tell you. Then we'll be gisting, I will say something. The lady said, exactly what my husband says. Then we'll talk, I will say something. They said, this is exactly what my husband says. She now made the same one. They said, I had been praying that God would send him a friend. So that we can interact, talk to one another. Listen, life is discouragement. No, I'm telling you, discouragement, there are different kinds of discouragement. The summary of it is that pressure will come to push you off the tangent, or off the path of that which you know is right. Your father will sit you down and give you fatherly advice. And it's all of Satan. Pastor Mike already said Satan. Jesus looked at Peter. Said, get behind me who? Satan. Look, listen. I know what I'm saying. He give you advice against the word of God. To the word and to the testimony. If they do not speak according to this word, it is because light has not yet dawned upon them. Are you following what I'm saying? Life is extremely discouraging. And God has not given anybody a long-acting dose of anything to use to help against discouragement. What he gives you is a regular infusion. Listen, the word must come to you every time. Because every day, no matter what it is you are doing, you know, as I did so, ministry work, there are those who are looking at me and feeling very sorry for me. I'm serious. I feel sorry for myself though, but not the way they are feeling sorry for me. What I mean is that they just say, this guy doesn't understand. If you just turn this thing like this and do it like this, it will just explode. You hang out with such people, you die at 55. What do they call explosion? It's more money. What do they call explosion? More influence amongst men. They want to make you a king amongst men. That's what they call explosion. So that when you see people like that, every time giving you advice, listen, let me tell you something. Listen to what I want to say. If you listen to them long enough, you will obey them eventually. After a while, you run away from such places. You disappear. If every time you come, you go home, your mother drags a chair and sits you down and sits on the other end. My son. And she starts that round of satanic counsel again. Don't quarrel, though. It's your mother. You can't quarrel. It's 2 days you said you wanted to stay. Stay 2 days. You used to come home every month before. Holy Spirit is instructing you right now to go once in 6 months. Good enough phones they work. When you want to call your mother, make sure you have only 25 naira left credit. Or go to a business center. Hey, that's what I was saying. Say, mommy, I'm in a business center. We can't talk in public now. I'll call you back. That's next week. When it's only 25 naira on the phone. Hey, how are you doing, mommy? Ask everything. As you are talking, you know the countdown. You have 1 minute left for this call. He said, mommy, they're about to cut me off. I'll call you back later. See, the banks all have networks. Don't be so. Just go to the one nearby and be sending money periodically. But as by exposing yourself to that counsel regularly, please run. Are you getting the point I'm making? It's very crucial. One of my friends said, her mother, when it comes to, in fact, said, when anytime her mother comes to the house, her husband comes from work, goes to the bedroom and goes to sleep. Don't blame the guy. Because from what the lady used to tell me, obviously, if I were the man, I would do the same thing. No, maybe I may be more confrontational. Because her mother will call her. Mom, what are you doing? I suspect you and your husband are mixing money together. Hey, my daughter, it's risky. No, you can't do like that. Oh. You can't do like that. You must hide your money. So the woman will come and tell me at work, can you believe what my mother is telling me? Of course, she will be nice not to tell her husband because the man would invest for the woman some more. Of course, that's what I'm talking about, good counsel. I'm a good counselor. I was a good friend. You understand? I was an iron sharpening her iron. Then I would say, don't mind your mother. I say, in their days, it was like this. I would talk, Hey. So I give her strength to continue to do that which is right. Are you following the point I'm making? It can be your father, can be your mother, can be your... In fact, it can't be your friends. You know why I say it can't be your friends? If it's your friend the first time, it better not be your... The person should stop being your friend after a short while. That's what I mean by it can't be your friends. It can be your friends, though, but after a while, you should terminate the friendship. There's one brother was telling me once that there's one sister, anytime she counsels that maybe she wants to talk to him, that he will feel drained. He will feel energy sapping out of him as she's talking. I said, Christian sister, come to counsel. I said, you think witches are only... I said, that's the problem with Christians. You think witches are in the covens. They don't say witches, they come fellowship. Now they look very holy and righteous. Let's say they can't hurt a fly. Jezebel. Now, what am I saying? I told him simply, next time she's showing up, disappear and I said, wait. According to my Mudok, never complain about what you permit. My Mudok said, he said, they kept me on the phone this morning for one full hour. He said, who was on the other end? No, be you. I love Nigeria. You know, in America, it's hard. If it's Nigeria, you'll press one button. Person will hear, queen, cut it off. Boom, 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 boom. He said, oh, empty. Now you're going to talk for the other end. My Kundok said, shut up or hang up. Choose one. If you won't hang up, stop complaining. If you don't want to complain, then simply hang up. What I mean is that friends gather and they always discuss, hey, this country is bad, this country is bad. You know where they gather. Stop going there. Stop going there. Is it compulsory for you must go for all the weddings? Okay, you must go. No wahala. Don't, you know when weddings start? Don't go early. By the time they gather around the bride and be talking like cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha, don't go there. Once they are doing, and they march, go church, just sneak in. As they finish for there, before the gathering starts again, disappear. What's happening? I'm going to Bible study. Thank God it's Saturday. I'm telling you, no, I'm seeing you. He said, guard your heart with all diligence. Guard your heart with all diligence. Guard your heart with what? All diligence. Let me summarize something I said last time. You know, I need to connect it now so that we remember why this is important. It is what enters into you that determines what your life produces. You hear what I said? It is what enters into you that determines what your life produces. It's not what you work for. It's not what you work for. It's not what you work for. If the wrong spirit is... Look, as you are going about in life, you are radiating forces magnetic spiritual forces, electrostatic, electrodynamic forces. If they're static, they must be dynamic. That's why I manufactured that one. Yes. I just thought if there's electrostatic, there should be electrodynamic. That's all I'll be. As you are going, listen, no, you are radiating things. You know, I've said it before, life is in different spheres. People can come and teach you. When you want to go for an interview, you go and borrow an Armani suit. Make sure you use a Calvin Klein perfume. And your tie must be Hugo Boss. And your shoes must be Maserati. And when you show up, have you ever entered an interview? The man is so busy, he's not even looking at you. Hello, what's your name? He hasn't looked up. And God wants to disappoint Christians. That's what he does. That day you see the man wearing glasses, you won't know why. They gave you a blind man to interview you, so as to make nonsense of all your attire. What am I saying? No matter how you are attired, if you come with a spirit, do you understand my point? Even the blind will perceive it. Look, God works in mysterious ways. We must go for the spiritual side. Let's forget all this outward thing and read the 27 laws of power and walk into the power of the devil and out of the power of God. Is it 48 laws of power around the rubbish? Go and read them. This is our brother. What is his name? Ben Carson. How, as a young black man, he got a place in residency in one of the top institutions in the world, Johns Hopkins. You know? How did God do it for him? He entered the place. And as, I think in his, in his high school days, he studied music because he wanted to play in one orchestra and it didn't work out. But he studied music. He now went for an interview and something led to discussion on music. The man did not ask him about surgery. What did he learn in medical school? He started talking music. Oh, this is Beethoven. Ah, Beethoven sang. Okay, this was a symphony 75 of this one. They talk. After talk. All right, we'll be contacting you. Of course, they gave him the job. This boy will serve music like this. He's a guy. That is, the man just loved him. One of our brothers said he went for an interview. And as soon as he entered, Mike Adenunga looked at his name and said, you are from this place? He said, yes. They began to speak Efik. That's the end of the interview. There was no discussion on what can you do, what can you can't do. Let's just speak a language that we both understand. And that was the end of the interview. If you like, wear borrowed shoe. If you don't speak Efik, nothing for you. Now, you're getting what I'm trying to explain. Listen, I think we celebrate things that don't matter too much. If there's a calm in your spirit, the person interviewing you will know. And listen, if they refuse a job, don't be angry. You can't do every job in this world. I hope you know that. No, you can't do every job. There's one that God reserved for you. You went to the three, they refused you because of restlessness. And God has to cure the restlessness. So instead of fighting you all the time that you should rest, you couldn't. So it's okay, keep on going. Keep busy going for interviews. Say, Pastor, you need to pray. This is my 15th interview. They have all rejected me. Just none of them is your own. Said the witches in our village, they didn't come here. Don't worry about it. I'm talking about the rest of God. Listen, let's start with this. We're ending with it, but this is where we should start life from. Understand something. God is in charge of your life. Say amen if you believe it. Amen. Listen to this. God delights in the prosperity of his servants. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
Listen to this. There's less than 1 in 55 million chance that you will lose in life. You know what I said? That you will fail in life. The chances are so slim, they don't exist. Children of God don't fail. They don't. It's a matter of fact. They don't. They don't. They don't. Because greater is he that is in them than he that is in the world. You know of the grace of Christ Jesus, that though he was rich, he became poor, that you and I, through his poverty, might become what? Rich. Blessed, using the promises gave Israel, you will be in the field, in the house, everywhere. As long as you stick with Christ by faith, you are a blessed person. Why am I saying all of this? That's where you start from. You start from there. If you start from there, you won't be rushing up and down anyhow. The reason why people rush up and down is because they are afraid, they are not at rest. I said we should open to Joshua chapter 1. I didn't read it right. We'll get back to the next time. Don't worry. I haven't finished. You can't, I mean, who come here every Saturday? You can't finish everything. I mean, just keep talking, all right? Keep getting blessed. What am I explaining? If you understand that that's the beginning point, that is the beginning point, you will know that everything you experience on the way is just wilderness. You are going to the promised land. Therefore, when you encounter challenges, you don't whine, you don't grumble, you don't complain. You just say, okay, so where is the road? If you go here, it's blocked. You say, obviously, it's not where we are going to pass. If you go here, it's blocked. You say, well, this is not where we are going to pass. If you see water there, you say, peradventure, should we divide it? Simple. He said, there's no food. He said, he made us hungry, then he fed us with manna. Just wait for manna. It's coming. And when manna comes, chop it with gladness. These things were recorded for your learning. That's what the Bible says. Do you understand my point? So go and get the tape, Spirit of Thanksgiving, so that you will never grumble about your manna. Because when they disobey, they perish in the wilderness. So he said, be diligent. Let us fear, lest a promise remaining. Do you understand my point? We should be seen to have fallen short of it. So anything you are doing in life, you are, look, you know, there are times when I'm praying. I've told you this before. If I pray about something, I will kneel down and in prayer, I'll say, dear Lord, you know, I've been praying about this matter. I just want to be sure that I'm not being driven by covetousness. I'm not being driven by, let's say, what do you call it? Competition, a competitive spirit. I pray, I confess, and go and read, get our series again. This one, Hundredfold Blessing. Look, I think one of the most important messages you should listen to in your life, the Hundredfold Blessing. Why? Because therein I describe the purity in prayer, that if your prayer is pure, it's always answered. People think they should spend longer times praying. No. They should spend time purifying their motives. And you discover that there's no prayer God does not answer. Why am I talking about that? So the more I do that, what I'm trying to do in all of it is that to ensure that I am not distracted from the work of God and moving into my own works. Because once I step into my own works, God stops working. God stops working. God stops working. God stops working. The place I thought is, God, I pray they will understand this thing about faith. I really pray we will understand it. I pray we will understand it. The temptation of life is this. You think the faster you run, the quicker you get there. God says, no, if only you will learn to rest, then you will get there quicker. Look, that's why Christianity, you know, the problem with Christianity is that it's too, let me put the word, it's too foolish and too unreasonable to the normal person. So foolish and unreasonable that even we preachers, after a while, we begin to doubt whether we are telling the truth. I've seen preachers do it. My wife knows what I'm talking about. There's a preacher I heard at the time. I felt he had so much understanding. Then after a while, I told my wife, I said, you know what this guy's problem is? She said, what? I said, I suspect that the word he preached is so powerful, all right, but so unreasonable to the normal mind that even he began to wonder that can it really work like this? So he began to bring practicality, listen to this, to the word. And in trying to bring practicality to the word, he began to dilute the power in it. But then it began to make sense. That's the problem with Christianity. People get discouraged. They get discouraged. I told my wife that, I said, I suspect this is what happened to this guy. Because you listen to some messages, they are so deep. But there's something, just by the way, I'm going to finish my message. If you're a preacher, the shallower the message, the more popular it is.
He didn't hear me. The shallower the message, the more popular it is. If I make crowd gathering my primary assignment, people ask, okay, it's brethren, we're going to be having this meeting on Sunday mornings, and I want the crowd here to go anywhere. It's simple now. Today I'm preaching the message of recover. Everybody say recover. Look, I know what you want to hear. Yeah. You will rise up right now and face the direction in which your things were lost. Your car that the devil took, he will bring it back. Hey, people love such things. But preach that the car can be gone forever. Be the grace. You know how much I buy them? No. You tell someone that, look, the missing car can be a step into destiny. The guy go, look up. Why can't I drive it into destiny? The message that will recover the car will be more popular. I'm telling you the truth. What am I saying? There's a simplicity that's in the gospel that can be confounding if you are not careful. When I say all of these things, please don't forget. You were born a conqueror. Actually, more than a conqueror. That is a matter of fact. You were not born to succeed, though. You were born a success. A man born to succeed needs to struggle till he succeeds. There are people who are, the day they are born, you know, like Solomon, they born him, God sent him a name. Name, this guy is the next king. There's nothing you're going to do about it. Solomon was trained from the beginning to be a king. Nobody negotiated, will he be, will he not be. So his brothers were going crazy. He was born to be a king. That is, I have a Bible, R.W. Bollinger's Companion Bible. That's the name of the Bible. He analyzed the first few chapters of the book of Solomon. And I preached something about it before. That they were not the Proverbs of Solomon. Sorry, the first few chapters of the book of Proverbs. He said they were not the sayings of Solomon. That's why he used to say, my father used to say. Go and check it. When I was young, my father would say, and my mother will say, my father will say, and my mother will say. He said, it appears like this was what happened. Unlike the other sons that David had. I'm adding my own words to that now. Unlike the other sons, I added that. But he said, what happened is that Solomon was in a school. Wise men were gathered. What am I saying? This boy is going to be a king. So you guys train him to be a king. Are you getting my point? So the father will sit him down and say, listen, my boy, it is wrong for kings to drink in the morning. Do you understand the point? Have you watched the Lion King? You know, Mufasa will take the little boy, Simba, and be telling him things. He said, there's more to being king than having your way all the time. The boy said, wow, there's more. He missed the point. He said, wow, what else could be more than that? Now, this boy, he keeps telling him there's more to being king. He keeps telling him, what am I saying? The boy was born a king. You were born a successful success. Therefore, all of this is training for how to reign. Do you get what I'm saying? Listen, if you understand that, you will face life differently. You know that you're not struggling to do well. If you wake up early, is to learn to, that is, you are learning how to wake up early at the appropriate time. Do you know what I'm saying? Not because waking up early, he will succeed. No, no. In fact, you are not supposed to leave the house early. You should sleep, wake up early only to pray and study and to meditate. You don't wake up early to go out of the house. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Let me summarize everything. In fact, that's the summary of it. Let me end the message there. That's the point. Once we rest in the rest of God, you'll be amazed that Samuel is out there looking for you. Do you hear what I said? Yeah, Samuel is out there looking for you. He'll find you one day. Don't worry. Don't run around too much. Samuel will find you one day and pour oil on your head. Do you get my point? What have I said so far? You're not an accident. God is in charge of your life. Let us pray.